Just in seeking God's heart for tonight, I just felt the topic of freedom was really strong in my heart, and that God wants to raise up a people who are living in freedom, who really understand what it means to live in the freedom of Christ, and to live in freedom from exile. There are so many pictures in the Old Testament of God's deliverance, where God delivered his people. He delivered them in the Exodus. And how many of you know the reason why God brought them out of Egypt? Could somebody just shout out the reason? What did he want to do with them? Most people say he wanted to take them into the promised land. But actually before that, in Exodus 19, 4-6, it speaks about how he brought them on eagle's wings and he brought them to himself. Firstly, God brings us to himself. And just in our time away, we've been speaking so much about intimacy. You know, as leaders, we need intimacy. We can't afford to be doing the mechanics of ministry and getting away with it. We are shipwrecked unless we have intimacy with God. But it's the same for all of us. We need our God. And another great symbol, of course, in the Old Testament is the exile. God's people were unfaithful. They were breaking covenantal obligations that God had given them. They were unfaithful. They were an idolatrous people. And because of that, they were carried off into exile by there was the Babylonian exile. And they were taken away. Can you imagine a foreign power coming and taking you away and carrying you off to somewhere strange like France or somewhere like that, you know? No, I'm only kidding. We love the French. And, that's what happened to them, but God brought them back. He delivered them from exile. And the book of Isaiah is an incredible book about God's promises and then the fact that he follows through on his promises. He speaks comfort, he speaks hope, he speaks destiny over a people who are still, who are being promised that they're going to be carried off into exile. But he says, but I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to restore you. And I'm going to return you to your land. So will you turn with me to Isaiah 61? Because I do believe that God wants to raise up a people who understand what it means to live free of the exile that once was upon our lives. You know that when you're separate from Jesus Christ, you're living in exile from God. When you don't know him as your Savior, when you are not redeemed by him, when you're not in relationship with God, when you haven't asked Jesus to cleanse you and to come into your life and to be your father, then you're living in exile from God. And of course, God has restored our relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his gospel. And both myself and Andy, we're going to speak into these themes tonight. We're going to look at these themes of God's freedom. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Another translation talks about for the display of his splendor. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And I'm just going to stop there for now. You know, there are just powerful words in here of what God's will is. And of course, this is a promise of what God was going to do both in Israel, where he was going to deliver them from exile, but it was also a promise for what he was going to do through the Messiah, the promised one, Jesus. And that's, of course, where we're living. We're living on the other side of that, and Jesus Christ's advent is coming into the world and his death and his resurrection. And so, just some of the terminology here is so powerful. Some of the reality of what God had promised is so incredible. It says that that he was proclaiming liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He was proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God. And of course, that year of the Lord's favor is speaking of that year of Jubilee, that great time in Israel's kind of calendar of in their religious life, when freedom was proclaimed every 49 years, and the slaves, there would be a return of property, and there would be just a freedom that would come to many in Israel. And so, many of us here, let's be really honest, in Northern Ireland and in Ireland, we're still living bound. We're still not living in that incredible freedom that God has for us. Let's be really honest tonight. I believe there was great freedom in here when we were worshiping God. But sometimes when we go out of the doors of church, we're not living in that wonderful freedom that God has given us. And of course, in Galatians 5:1, it says, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. But let us stand firm and not submit again to that yoke of slavery." And I think it's a tragedy that in today's church, that we can have such a great and such a powerful gospel, but so many of us can still be living under the yokes, the bondages, still in the exile in one sense. We've been set free, but still in our minds and in our hearts, we still feel like we're in exile from God. And I just feel that the Lord really wants to bring a reality of His freedom into our lives. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to free us so that we can be His people. How many of you would recognize that, you know, evangelism and mission and so on is a wonderful thing? It's something that God calls us all into. But how many of you would also recognize that it's a thing that we don't find easy to do whenever we're struggling, you know? We're struggling with guilt, or we're struggling with condemnation, or we're feeling insecure or feeling unworthy a lot of our time. I really do believe that God wants to minister into those areas. He's looking for local churches and believers who are increasingly growing stronger in those areas and who are living in their sonship and living in their identity. When we do that, we are much better at those things that we know that we want to be doing and participating with in God's kingdom. One of the wonderful things that we read off here in Isaiah, and it's prophesied, is that God is going to do two really key things. When we are brought out of exile, when we're brought out of the kingdom of darkness and we're saved and we become the people of God, one of the key things that He wants to do is He wants to build up the ancient ruins. He wants to restore, because remember when Jerusalem was plundered, the walls were destroyed, the city gates were burned, and the city was devastated. It was laid waste, it was just plundered, and the people were carried off. And so this is so symbolic of our lives, because how many of you have noticed that sin doesn't really do us any good? Amen? It doesn't really help you, does it? We hold on to these things and we defend these things in our lives, and you know it doesn't really do us any good. And God in his graciousness helps us and sets us free of our sin. So one of the first things that needs to happen is we need to understand that God wants to restore us. Amen. He wants to restore us. He wants to heal us. He wants to make us the people that He's created us to be. He wants to build up those broken walls, and He wants to restore those city gates in our lives. And so that's just the first thing that I want to say tonight, is that God is a God of restoration. We can talk about being equipped to do this, to do evangelism, to do mission, to do deliverance, to do serving, to do all these things. And we will get onto some of those things tomorrow as part of what we're going to equip people with at this time. But if we're not able to live in the freedom wherewith Christ has set us free, we're not going to be able to shine as those people that God has for us. But God wants to restore. Amen? There are so many in our time who've kind of bought into a kind of a gospel, and it's very prevalent here in Northern Ireland, where it's kind of like this thing of, you know, I've got my ticket. How many of you know that kind of Christianity? You know, I've bought my ticket. I came to Jesus, and I'm going to heaven, and as wonderful as that is, and the whole focus is kind of the ascent of the soul. It's, you know, I need to get out of here. I can't wait to get out of here. And a lot of Christians, we end up, you know, withdrawing into our, kind of into behind closed doors. And then we go to work, but we're very private and we don't talk a lot about our faith. And It's kind of this emphasis and this focus on the ascent of the soul when the gospel was divine descent into our lives, when Jesus Christ came down. And he's taught us in how he lived and how he commissioned his disciples. He's taught us how he wants us to live. And there's something of that that I'm going to come on to in just a moment. The second thing that I see here, and you forgive my voice, I've got a little bit of a cold, but the second thing that I see here is that he wants to display us. In his restoration, he's restoring us to be his image bearers. We were created in the garden. Man was created in the garden to bear the image of God, and we still do. We still have, as some of the great teachers of the past have said, we still bear that mark upon our lives. But so much of it has been distorted through sin. Amen. Broken relationships, financial toil and difficulties, all kinds of sin and moving away from the will and the plan of God. And our nation and our society is in turmoil. Many people are in turmoil tonight because of sin. And so God's original intent, even for Israel, was that she would be a light to the nations. Did you know that? It was in many ways, a commission that they missed. Because due to their unfaithfulness and their moving away from God and their up and down kind of life and journey with God, in many ways they weren't a great example to the nations. Caravans of people passing through a small nation, going from west to east and east to west and passing through and seeing Asherah poles and Baal worship and all kind of stuff going on. This was not a great example of being a light to the nations. And that was the plan and the purpose that was prophesied by the great prophets like Isaiah and right throughout Scripture. And of course, way before that, through the Sinai covenant, God desired that his people would live in his ways. That they would, and of course, right back to the garden, Adam and Eve, that we would bear his image, that we would be like him, and that he would display us to the nations of the world. And so could we all agree here tonight that that is a huge part of what God is doing through the gospel, is that he's restoring us to be his image bearers. Amen? You know, it's not just about a Sunday. It's not just about putting on that sort of thing for a Sunday. It's an everyday thing where God wants us to live for him. And I just love this verse in verse 11. It says, "For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations." I want to declare that tonight. That is the will of our God, that he would display us to the nations. It's not showmanship. It's his very character and nature living in us. And then us living as the people of God. God is restoring his church, and he's displaying us to the nations of the world. And of course, when Jesus stood up, you can turn with me now to Luke chapter 4, because it's kind of repeated again. Luke chapter 4. We see Jesus's, some people have called it his inaugural address, his first kind of time where he stood up in front of a group of people. We think that this was a custom in those days that a visiting person, a visiting rabbi, when he was visiting a synagogue, he would be invited by the local religious leadership to come and share something. And so Jesus took the scroll of Isaiah and he read from the passage that we just read a few moments ago. And of course, he read the same thing. He declared himself to be the fulfillment. In verse 21, he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And they all spoke well of him and marveled at his gracious words. They wouldn't go on always speaking well of Jesus, as we know. But he was the fulfillment of all that was promised. And very interestingly, I just want to draw your attention to something here, where it says here that he sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. That word there is apostello, which is the same word that we get the word apostle from. Okay? And so what he was really saying there was, it's that imagery of exile, you know? I've come to send you away from your exile from God. I've come to declare liberty from your exile and to bring you into the fulfillment of everything that I had planned and purposed. I've come to bring release to you. I've come to bring liberty to your captivity. How many of you agree we need to live in these promises here today? Come on, folks. How many of you believe that God is looking for a church that is living in this liberty, that's living in this freedom that Christ has brought to us? And so, as I've said earlier, we have been declared free, and I know that Andy's going to, you know, speak a little bit more of these personal dynamics of God's freedom and what he's doing and what he's done in our lives, and I'll leave that for him to share about. But in that declaring us free and that work through the gospel, we must admit that at times we are still living as those who are not free, who are still bound, and who are still weighed down by the burden of our exile. We are not in exile, folks. I once heard a story of, I was reading a book, it was at the end of a long kind of a time where God was speaking to me about this whole imagery of the eagle, and David was praying this stuff over me just in the last day or so. But God kept speaking to me about the eagle, and at the end of two or three times where he spoke to me about the eagle and he was declaring this over my life, it was kind of a prophetic thing that just kept happening. I went from a Sunday morning to an appointment where I was going actually to Martin and Cindy's house up in Sandyford, and there was this guy walking along with, it was probably not an eagle, but it was like a hawk or something, in the middle of residential Dublin. He's walking along with this, you know, what looked like an eagle to me anyway. It certainly spoke to my heart, and I was like, God, this is just crazy, you know. How many of you have had words like that where God just speaks something, it's just, it's so crazy, it's just so clear. He's just making it so clear to you that he's speaking something and he's declaring something to you. And then I was sitting in Starbucks in Dundrum in South Dublin the one day, and I was reading this book, The Supernatural Life. And the first little preface, the introduction, was a story about an eagle that escaped from London Zoo. I think it was 1969. You older people here tonight might remember this. But that didn't really work. And Goldie loved to be fed. And the zookeeper came in one day to feed Goldie. And he was so used to Goldie just sort of sitting in the corner and waiting for his little bit of meat or whatever he was getting. And this one day, Goldie decided that he preferred maybe to go out through the gate. And he disappeared and took off on the wings of the morning. And he disappeared into the upper atmosphere and took off from... And this was front page news, apparently. You can even Google it and look back into the archives if you don't believe me. But this was big news. Goldie the eagle disappeared. And they were looking for Goldie. This was a golden eagle. It was a really important bird, okay? There weren't many of them around and endangered and all of that. And they're looking for Goldie the eagle. And you know the way the media captures these things and it becomes, where's Goldie? Let's find Goldie, you know? And everybody thought that Goldie was away in Norway or somewhere like that over the fjords, you know, and catching salmon in these wild rivers. And so they were looking in all kinds of places, the Highlands of Scotland, you know, maybe he's up there. But you know where Goldie was? They found Goldie in the treetops around London Zoo. Goldie had decided that he wasn't going to take off to Scandinavia or fly on the wings of the morning. Because Goldie was so used to living inside a cage that he didn't really know what it was like anymore to fly away and to fly wild and free. So he just stayed in the treetops just around London Zoo. Just as I was preparing that thought came back to me. How many of us, even though we've been restored and returned from exile, how many of us are still living in that, just that safe place, just in case I'm not really saved? You know what I mean? Just in case, you know, God's really not that pleased with me. And we're walking around with our heads down and we feel a kind of a low-grade guilt and a condemnation that we're walking around with. I really believe tonight, folks, that God wants to minister to people a deeper freedom in this place tonight. I really do believe that. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And I'm just going to finish with one scripture. It's in Luke chapter 10. Because having declared who he was, that he was the fulfillment, Jesus as the fulfillment of all the promises, he linked himself to Isaiah 61, that he was here to release the captives, the prisoners, to set them free, to send them away from their exile, to deliver them. I've sometimes wondered, you know, all the incredible things that Jesus did, like healing the sick and, you know, preaching to crowds and doing all the amazing things that Jesus did, touching lepers and casting out demons. You know, I've often thought, well, maybe that was just for Jesus, you know. Maybe the odd time we can just do something, you know, we just maybe at Easter, you know. God will really anoint us at Easter, and we'll do amazing things at Easter. We'll go out in the streets, and God will do incredible things. And you kind of begin to reduce this freedom and this incredible mission and plan that God has to display us to the nations. We begin to dumb it down, and then we have disappointments. Have you ever had disappointments? Come on. Have you had disappointments? How many of you have tried praying for people, and it just hasn't happened the way you expected it to happen? Or you've tried preaching to someone, and you're so excited, and you're on the streets, and you're telling them about Jesus. And then they're like, no, I'm just not interested. I'm sorry. And you're like, oh, so deflated, and you go home. And we have those times. And I'm telling you that what can happen is that if we allow our disappointments, if we allow those to accumulate in our heart to a certain extent, they can begin to dictate to our theology and begin to tell us that there isn't really a great plan for my life. There isn't really much that God wants me to do. There isn't really an extravagant freedom that I have too. And the thing that was the real clincher for me was that Jesus commissioned his disciples. He brought them into freedom. He brought them to himself. He gathered them around. He taught them who he was. He loved them. He washed their feet. He did all those things. And then critically, he sent them out. Amen? He sent them out. He equipped them and he sent them out. And so I pray that through this time, you'll be challenged with that thought. Because Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And you can be a laborer, if you live here in Armagh, you can be a laborer right here. Amen. Come on. You can be a laborer right here. If you live in Dublin, you can be a laborer in Dublin. God is raising up people to labor for him. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Jesus is equipping his disciples. We can be equipped through these words here. He's like saying, don't wait until some perfect day when your bank balance is perfect, when everything just lines up, your job is just the way you want it to be. Finally, that wife or that husband that you've been waiting for so long has come along and everything's just perfect. Don't wait for a perfect day before you start serving Jesus. Amen. Before you start stepping out in the mission that he has given his church, the mandate to display him to the nations, don't wait because it's never going to come. I'm not saying the answers aren't going to come, but perfection, the kind of perfect ideal life may never come, but God reigns in our chaos. He reigns in our waiting times. He reigns. And yes, he answers. Thank God he answers our prayers as well. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. He's equipping them. He's saying there will be people that will be open to the good news, and there will be others who will be more closed. Don't be afraid to concentrate on those who are more open to the gospel. and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. He's kind of like saying, you know, when the Holy Spirit kind of starts moving in a heart and a life, he's doing something. Work with him. Amen. Learn to work with the Holy Spirit. So often we kind of mechanized, you know, we have this formula of how we present the gospel, and it's like, this is my moment, this is my opportunity. I've been told that any time I get an opportunity, I have to share the gospel. Well, who said you had to? We have to do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do in any given moment. Amen. Because when he is working, that's what he wants us to do. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. That's what I do. Heal the sick. Heal the sick in it, in the house, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. It's interesting the order of this, isn't it? Heal the sick. You know, trust me for a breakthrough in this person's life. Trust me to break into the situation. Folks, let's be ready to pray for the sick. Let's be ready to step out of the boat, to pray for troubled people. You know, so often when you say, can I pray for you? People will say, even if they're unsaved people, they'll say, yes, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much. And say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Explain the gospel to them, the gospel and the kingdom. And whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off against you. It's interesting, isn't it? He doesn't say plead and beg. You know, he says, no. Shake the dust off your feet and move on, because I have another plan. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that time. Folks, we are believing God over these 2 days. And I know many of you are in wonderful churches and you're hearing wonderful messages, but we are believing God for an impact, which is why we've called it impact these times. We are believing for God to break into your lives. I want to ask you tonight, would you give him permission for that? For God to break into your life and to make an impact. He wants to deliver people from exile, their estrangement from God. He wants to bring them into his kingdom. He wants to make them his children. And he wants to teach his sons and his daughters to live as restored, amen? To live as restored, healed, increasingly whole people. Not perfect necessarily this side of heaven, amen? But then living to live in that mission that God has given us, to display Jesus to the nations. How many of you are excited about that mission and that call? I'd like to just hand over to Andy. I'm just going to ask you to stand to your feet just for a moment, just before he comes. To stretch a little bit. We're unashamedly going to pack a couple of messages in tonight, and then we want to have a time where we just pray for people here. Is that okay? We believe that sometimes people just need that personal ministry, that personal prayer, that personal attention in order to help people get free of certain things that are holding them back. So we're going to open this place up just at the end and invite you, if you would like to come forward for prayer. And also just to say, we'll be here at 9:30 in the morning, tomorrow morning. So Father, I want to thank you for the incredible gift of your Son. I want to thank you for a gospel that is glorious, that is a scandal, and that is, sometimes we feel almost too good to be true, but it is true. Lord, would you bring us into your freedom increasingly? Lord, I pray for churches that throb with your freedom. I pray for leaders here tonight. Lord, for all members here tonight, I pray that we would live in that incredible freedom, that we would live in that restoration that you are doing. I believe you're knocking on hearts even now. Even now, you're knocking on hearts, Holy Spirit. You want to build up those broken places, those wounds, those areas that have just been broken down, and you want to display us to our community, to our friends, to our family, to our colleagues, and to these places that we live in. So, Father, we trust you even now. As the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us, we trust you to do a deep work in our lives. in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you just turn and say hi to somebody quickly just beside you, because we're going to hand over to Andy. Bless you.